Here he is, Fred Allen, folks.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, you're right, Harry. I am chock full of jokes.
Yes, well, let's go, Fred, old boy. Out now for some hijinks, huh,
Fred? Now, wait. That's the worst of going in the rain with those cheap pants, Harry. They jump on you an hour later, and you think it's old age setting in. But wait a minute, Harry. Now, for the last few weeks, I've been telling a lot of hilarious jokes at the beginning of the program, and the people laugh so long. Yes. They laugh so long that the show is always late, and we're generally cut off at the end, you see? And I never have a chance to say goodnight.
Say, that's right, Fred, but yes, what are you going to do about it?
Well, we're going to do something about it tonight, Harry. Now, we'll play safe and reverse the procedure.
How do you mean?
Well, I'm going to say goodnight right now, you see?
Oh?
And then I'll tell those convulsing jokes at the end of the program.
Oh, well, that's a great idea.
So anybody's waiting around for the convulsing jokes, they have an hour now just to sit back and anticipate.
I think that's a good idea, Fred. Are you ready?
Yes. Yes, I'm ready, Harry. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. And with this fond farewell, we open our show and turn to the latest news of the week. iPana News presents The World in Review. New York City, New York. Dr. George Gallup announces at press conference that American Institute of Public Opinion will conduct survey of the film-going public to determine the popularity of double feature programs. Since 3 months will be required to complete the Gallup survey, iPana News conducts its own poll and questions theater owners and picture fans at random to bring you instant opinions on double feature policy. First, just an average man. Let us call him Mr. X. What is your reaction to this double feature poll, Mr. X?
Polls, polls. Every place you go today, it's polls.
Well, I only want to find out about the double feature poll.
10% of the people are minding their own business. The other 90% is taking polls. I'm poll happy.
Well, how do you mean, Mr. X?
I got up this morning. I just got in the bathtub. Zing, the phone rings.
Well, who was it?
Somebody wants to know which leg I put in the bathtub twice. A bathing pole.
A bathing pole?
Yeah. I sit down at breakfast, again, the phone rings. It's somebody wants to know if I'm dipping my crumb cake in my sanker. It's a Dunkin' pole.
A Dunkin' pole, really?
I start driving downtown, some punk gets in the car with me.
Hey, anybody we know?
This bum wants to count how many times I blow the horn. He's taking a horn-blowing pole.
Well, Avi, I
just get in the office, a dame busts in. She wants to know if my best friends have told me yet. It's a B.O. pole.
And this kept out?
All day. Does your fountain pen squirt? Are you using a Dixie cup more than once? Is your cigarette letting you down later in the day? Did your union suit snarl when you got up to leave the office?
Well, it's... It must be a pleasure to get back home.
Don't mention home to me.
You don't get any peace at night either?
In the middle of dinner, it's the phone again. Are you listening to Major Bowes, the radio pole? After dinner, again the phone. Did you get a call asking if you were listening to Major Bowes? It's a pole checking on the other pole.
Well, before you lapse into a complete breakdown, Mr. X, what about the double feature pole?
Give me double features, triple features, quadruple features. The longer I stay in picture theaters, the better. Nobody can pest me with them poles.
Well, after all...
Poles, poles. They're undermining me, driving me nuts. I can't even get time to do my work.
Your work? Who are you, Mr. X?
I'm Dr. Gallup.
Oh. Well, you ought to know all the answers. And thank you, Dr. G. A working girl who favors the double feature is Miss Columbine Stroud. You like the dual feature policy, Columbine?
Under certain conditions, I gotta say yeah.
Well, how do you mean, under certain conditions?
Well, I don't go to pictures just to see pictures.
Why do you go?
I'm a sucker for happy ends.
Oh. Happy end, huh?
Yeah, it can be a McGee picture, but if it's got a happy end, oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Well, how do you account for this happy end phobia of yours?
Who knows? I met a syphilologist on the Staten Island ferry one time.
You mean a psychologist?
Yeah, a syphilologist. He was giving readings on the top deck.
A psychologist was giving readings on the top deck of the Staten Island ferry?
Yeah.
He was, huh? And he explained your happy end fixation?
Yeah. This psychologist said that the happy end yen is the result of occupational maladjustment.
Occupational
maladjustment? I got the dollar reading to give me all the big words.
With the dollar reading, you got the big words.
Yeah, the two-bit reading is nothing but pronouns and propositions.
But what is this occupational maller?
Oh, that's a syphilologist time.
Oh, a term in syphilology.
It means me and me job ain't in harmony.
Ooh,
me subconscious has got to have an emotional antidote.
Oh, your subconscious. Well, just how do you mean?
Well, I'm a manicurist, see?
Yeah.
All day long, I keep looking at fingers.
Fingers.
Fingers with long nails, fingers with short nails, fingers with hang nails, fingers with no nails. The ends on them fingers is pretty sad.
Oh, and your emotional antidote for the sad end...
is the happy end. That's why I'm nuts about pictures.
And you favor the double feature Columbine?
Two happy ends is better than one, ain't they, handsome?
Handsome, huh? Do you need glasses? Bifocals with bifocals yet? And thank you, Miss Columbine Stroud. A theater owner who explains the problem double features present to him is Mandrake Guttenberg. You are running a movie theater, Mandrake.
Well, better you could say a movie theater is running Mandrake Guttenberg.
What is your theater called, Mandrake?
It is the Teller Hall. I'm naming it myself.
What prompted you to call your theater the Tally Ho?
Every night when I tally up the receipts, I ho. So I'm calling it the Tally Ho.
Darn clever, I must say. Well, now, what about double features?
This with the policy of the house is killing me.
Well, how do you mean, Mandy?
Well... when the Tally Ho was first starting, I am opening at 9:30.
Not 9 o'clock in the morning you open, and how many hours did you run?
With a single feature, always it is up along Cassidy,
a
newsreel, and a Mission Mouse. And the show is coming out even. At midnight, I'm closing right on the button.
Well, you didn't mind the hours?
Well, it's easier than the delicatessen business, and continually I am not smelling from sturgeon.
Well, who helped you in the theater?
I, a willing worker, I'm making it a one-man job.
You ran the entire theater alone?
Why not? Ford is running a factory, Gottenberg is running a theater.
Heavens, man, how could you attend to everything?
Well, for instance, at 9:30 in the morning, I'm selling tickets.
Yeah.
Instantly, the telehor is filling, I am locking the doors. Next, I'm going above and turning on the picture.
I see.
The show is over. I am unlocking the theater. The people is going out in a jiffy. I am selling tickets. The telehall is filling. I am going above, turning on the picture.
Oh, and this went on all day?
Till midnight. The show is coming out even. I am closing up.
Well, have you had to change your routine any with double features?
Oh, to playing two pictures, still a newsreel and a Mission Mouse. They tell you who I am opening at 5:30.
You open at 5 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, sir.
What time do you close?
The show is coming out at 5:00 a.m.
Oh, you just finish in time to open for the next day.
The first day only. The next night, I am closing at midnight again, back on the old schedule.
Well, how can you run two features where you only ran one before? You run two now, and you let out at the same time.
Don't bother. Paxi Mandrake is finding the solution. The double features I'm stuffing together in the projector and running at the same time.
Well, isn't that confusing on the screen?
Yeah, who knows what's going on? Fred Butler is talking like Charlie Kent. The Natchke is singing Popeye the Sailor Man. Rebecca is yelling, Hi-ho, Silver. And the Long Ranger is riding around on Mickey Rooney.
And what are you doing?
Oh, in the meantime, from the balcony, I am yelling bingo and throwing on the audience dishes with cargo.
How long has this been going on?
Oh, 6 months.
Well, how is it working out?
Tomorrow is the grand opening.
The grand opening of what?
The tally-ho is a delicatessen.
Well, thank you, Mandrake Guttenberg. Despite the forthcoming poll, we predict that nothing will be done about the double feature. For America today is double conscious. A man sleeps in
a double bed.
He wears
a double-breasted suit.
He eats
double-decker sandwich.
He drinks
double malted.
He gets fat. He gets
a double chin.
He gets sick
double pneumonia.
He dies
double indemnity.
If you ask the average man his opinion of the times, he says,
America is double proud and longer trans with mimsy on the brilli.
What is that?
Double talk.
Thank you. And now the Mary Max report for duty with a song called Rumba Jumps. Thank you. And now, Harry. Harry Von Zell.
Yeah, well, what's the matter, Fred?
Oh, now, look, if you want to read, Harry, the Fifth Avenue Library is about a half a mile down the street.
No.
You can't miss it. There are two lions right in front of you.
I know. I'm sorry, Fred, but I just got this book, and it's the most fascinating thing I've ever read.
Pirates and Hidden Treasures, is it?
No. Lobster Newburgh and Kidney Pie. Oh. It's a book about cooking, by and for men.
Well, since you brought the subject up yourself, Harry, I can break down now and confess that the discerning few, the epicures who have been privileged to try my mashed potatoes, call them cloud poems.
Oh, mashed potatoes.
Yes, I'm constantly getting puffs on my mashed potatoes.
Why, they're elemental, my dear Alan. Just glance at the list of delicacies in this book. Look here.
Oh, potato soup, yes. Spaghetti Creole, onion fritters. Hey, this is all right, Harry. You know, I'm going to cheat, if you don't mind. I'm going to look in the back of the book now and see if it has a happy ending. Lemon meringue pie, rice pudding, hot gingerbread. Yum. Very interesting, Harry. My mouth's watering already.
Yeah, it's interesting on several counts, Fred. Did you notice that all of those foods are either soft, creamy, or well-cooked? And while they're mighty delicious, they do not give our gums enough work to keep them firm and healthy. That's why so many dentists advise that...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, our guest
tonight... Wait a minute. Hold it, Portland. What is this?
Well, Peter finished his number and you weren't here.
Yeah.
It was an emergency. I was saving the day.
Oh, well, this is night now. You don't have to bother saving the day.
When I was a Girl Scout, our motto was be prepared.
Be prepared for what?
I don't know. I left the Girl Scouts before they told me.
Oh, not too bad. Well, after this, look, if I'm not here, another thing like this, if I'm not here, just page me.
Oh, that's silly. You can't find anyone in radio paging them.
Why can't you?
That little boy has been paging Philip Morris 5 years, and he hasn't found Philip Morris yet, has he?
You got me there. And Renfrew of the Mounted hasn't answered yet either, if it's any news to you.
Oh, radio's all mixed up, isn't it?
I'll say it is. You know that they're making a portable radio now with a portable phone attached. If the pot of gold calls you up while you're out of the house, you're all set. You don't have to worry.
We're living in a wonderful age, if we're living, aren't we?
Oh, yes. An age like this, you can only live in once in a lifetime. Did you read about those new nylon hose?
You mean those chemical stockings?
Yes, those are the stockings that had 2,000 silkworms picketing Macy's last week.
Well, if they're not silk, what are they made of?
Well, it's a new synthetic thread. The stockings are really made of coal, water, and air.
Coal, water, and air?
Uh-huh. You just put your foot in it.
It's going to be pretty confusing.
What?
When a girl gets a hole in a nylon stocking...
What'll be confusing?
She won't know whether the coal is chipping, the water is leaking, or it's a blowout in the air.
Well, look, if there's too much coal in the stocking and she gets a hot foot, she'll have a clinker in her shoe. A clinker with a clock in it. That'll be the new thing. But let's forget the whole business. Who is our guest?
Our guest tonight is a lot of guests.
Don't tell me that you picked up a motley crowd someplace net.
No, he's only one boy, but he imitates all the famous stars. Mr. Allen, meet Mr. Al Burney.
Well, good evening, Al.
Good evening, Fred.
Say, a man who makes a living through not being himself, Al, surely has a most unusual profession. Tell me, how does it... Gesundheit. Tell me... Excuse me, Al. A lady sneezed there. We give that service only on this... One Gesundheit to a customer, madam. But tell me, Al. Now, quiet, madam. Tell me, Al. You'll be getting fan mail if you sneeze again. Tell me, Al. How does a person go about becoming an impersonator? Is it a difficult process?
I wouldn't say it's so hard, Fred. My theory is that everyone is a natural mimic. That's how you learn to talk. You spend your early childhood imitating your parents.
Well, I know, but what happens, Al, when an impersonator tires of aping his folks and sets out to master strangers?
Well, I guess the first thing you do is try to copy the character's voice and accent. For instance, if you want to imitate Charles Boyer, you merely speak in a low, resonant tone, a French accent, and say, "I'm sorry, madame, but it is impossible for me to do without you. Come with me to Paris. This beautiful Paris in the spring. Think of it, madame. Just you and I alone. You are alone with me. I am alone with you. We are alone together."
See what I mean, Fred?
Yes, sir. That certainly was a swell impersonation, Al. Tell me, are they all as easy to do as this one?
Yes, Fred, it's all simply a matter of progression.
Progression?
That's right. If Charles Boyer were to catch a cold and drop his French accent, he might sound like this. "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Greetings and salutations. Yowza, this is Ben Burney and all the lads. Dear, dear. And the old maestro is happy to report that at last I've got the horses where they want me. Yowza." And if Ben Burney were to catch a cold, why, he might start speaking in the flat nasal voice of Ned Sparks as he says, "What's going on here? I visited a sick friend of mine in the hospital this morning. I gave him a blood transfusion and the poor fellow froze to death." You take Ned Sparks and you put a little more feeling into his voice, and here's what it sounds like. "Well, sir, they laughed when I put iodine on my coat envelope. Thank you. They didn't know I had a cut in my salary. I should never have waited for that laugh, but have been contented with the applause. Anyway, if it isn't Portland."
"Hello, Mr. Allen."
"Why, hello, Portland."
"Hey, now, wait a minute. What is this?"
"Wyatt, I'm talking to Mr. Allen."
"Now, look, I am Mr. Allen over here."
"Don't believe him, Portland. I am Mr. Allen over here."
"Gosh, two Mr. Allens. I don't know which one to believe."
"Go away, Portland."
"Oh, you're Mr. Allen."
"Yes, I'm Mr. Allen." "That was very good, Al. It's a pleasure to have an artist impersonate me. And unlike a certain cheapjack out in Hollywood, you didn't have to resort to pinching your nose with a clothespin, a clothesline clasp-pin. But tell me, Al, do you have any difficulty imitating the various stars? Do you ever find that they resent your vocal facsimiles?"
"Occasionally, Fred. Some celebrities don't really like to be imitated. For instance, Charles Lawton says,
I've been told that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. If that's so, I prefer not to be flattered by these mimics who say, Mr. Christian, come here. They don't do it right. They don't put enough feeling into it. They should say, Mr. Christian, come here. And I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one to feel that way, because here's what W.C. Fields has to say.
Fire, little chickadee. These mimics are going to drive me to stop drinking. Yes, indeed. They never bothered me when I was a prize fighter. Why, when I stepped into the ring, women fainted. Children shrieked, men turned pale. Then my opponent came into the ring and I turned pale.
Thank you. That'll be all, Mr. Fields. Oh, Edward G. Robinson, come here a moment. I want you to meet Al Burney. He does impersonations.
Now, you just listen to me, Al Burney. I don't like impersonations, and I don't like you. I've seen you try to imitate me. One of us is terrible. Little Caesar don't like that. Now, you better cut it out or I'll have to plug you. Yeah. Yeah.
I can understand. Thank you. I can understand your feelings precisely, Mr. Robinson. Bear in mind, Mr. Burney, a captain's a captain, a sermon's a sermon, and a mimic is the lowest form of animal life.
Well, that was excellent, Al. Gosh, if you ever talk in your sleep, you know your room is going to sound like the Academy Award dinner. How did you get the vocal lowdown on all of these celebrities? How are you able to copy their... I've got another sense if you don't... I mean, don't get so far into the imitation that you take my lines, Al. How did you... And I know, you're not yourself at the moment, I know. And how did you...
I guess you noticed the improvement, aren't you?
Now, how did you get... I can't answer. You've got me either way. I mean, Now, how did you get the local vote down on all these celebrities? I just threw in a Roy Atwell word. Tell me, how are you able to copy these celebrities, to copy their larynx idiosyncrasies?
Well, I listen to them on the radio, Fred. Or if they're in pictures, I sit through the show three or four times.
Ah, that is the secret then. Well, thanks a lot for this little peek behind your epiglottis, Al. Now, before you go, tell me, of all the impersonations you do, which one is your favorite?
The one I like best is the unsophisticated James Stewart, Fred. He assumes a shy, halting manner as he says, you know, you're about the most beautiful girl that I ever knew. And I really can't understand how you could fall for a dumb fella like me. I really can't. I always say that if people would just try to... they never seem... That is, if you would only sort of... You see what I mean? It's no use. I just can't get the words out. I'm all right in front of the Senate like when Mr. Smith goes to Washington. When I said, Mr. President, far be it from me to disrespect this honorable body. But you just gotta believe me. This country can be run by men like James Taylor and his political machine. That would be forgetting about American ideals, the spirit of the Capitol Dome. You can't hide that spirit in books, gentlemen. You gotta keep it alive so that... No, sir, I'll not yield the floor. I'm going to go on talking until the people of my state hear me and rise up and crush the Taylor machine into a million pieces. You just got to believe me, gentlemen. You just got to believe me.
Very nice, Al Burney. And now, Miss Wynne Murray, not Al Burney this time. You're not Al Burney, are you, little girl? I didn't know. My back was turned. I thought Al might be back in a new role. But who are you, please? Huh?
Oh, gee, I don't know.
Well, I know, but we've got to know who these people are coming to our microphone. Just any old person with an orchestration can't walk in here. right, then. I guess you are. You'll win, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
But now, Miss Wynne Murray, the singing star of American Jubilee at the World's Fair, is here to sing Tennessee Fish Fry.
Ain't you never been to a Tennessee fish fry? Ain't you never fished for your dinner down south?
Thank you. I'm sorry to fool you. That was Al Burney all the time. Thank you, Al. Now, next Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, as you are taking your slip at ease, lolling back on your favorite antimacassar and reading the Sunday papers, many of you will see this headline.
Dentists select IPANA for their personal dentifrice 2-to-1 over any other.
Well, the story beneath that headline is important enough to you to preview tonight, so here it is.
In the 1940 National Survey... This is Mr. and Mrs. Average Man's Round Table, where three persons selected from our studio audience are invited to give their opinions on a question that concerns some prominent issue of the day.
Oh, and what an issue we've got today.
I didn't hear what you said, Fred.
I say, and what an issue we have got today. It's a yesterday, an old issue that we should have used yesterday.
Well, I guess you're ready to take
it up. Don't give me that prop laugh, Harry. The forum is open. The Mr. Devonzel is dismissed. The forum is officially open. If Portland will kindly introduce our first member.
Yes, Mr. Arthur Feigl from New York City.
Well, good evening, Mr. Feigl.
Good evening, Fred.
May I ask your profession or your business?
I'm an importer.
An importer?
Yes.
An importer of what?
Of products from Switzerland.
Oh, from Switzerland you import products?
Yes.
Not yodelers or things?
No, not yodelers.
They come by themselves. Oh, the yodelers come by themselves.
Right.
We don't have anything like that in this country. In Chicago, there are people who have lived there so long they have the loop in their voice. But they're not really yodelers. But tell me, how is business these days, Mr. Feigl?
Well, very slow.
Very slow, a little confused, naturally.
Yeah.
But tell me, what are the leading products in Switzerland, from Switzerland?
Now, the leading products...
Which
I import are mostly novelties and cosmetics, herb cosmetics.
You import...
Specialties which go
chocolates,
in the...
Chocolates, do you?
Chocolates, which go in department stores, yes.
Are Swiss chocolates imported in great quantities these days?
Not so very, but quite enough to make a business out of.
Hershey won't let down the bars, eh? But tell me, why is it, Mr. Feigl, why is it that the Swiss chocolates have such an exceptional taste? They have a peculiar appeal that a great many other chocolates don't seem to have. How are they able to get that flavor in Switzerland?
Well, that's on account of the milk.
On account of the milk?
The milk.
Well, you mean that on account of the Alps there, the cows are milked at an angle and they get the... they get a new slant on the chocolate? Is that... Well, thank you a lot, Mr. Feigl. And now, Portland.
Miss Manya Stewart from Lakeland, Florida.
Good evening, Miss Stewart.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
What are you doing way up here from Florida? Come up to get some spring rain, did you?
No, I came up to study for the theater.
To study for the theater,
yes.
Really? What are you taking up in the theater?
I'm taking dramatics and voice training.
Where are you studying?
I'm studying with a private teacher.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
You don't want to divulge his name? His business might pick up?
Yes, it's Boris Marshaloff.
Oh,
Boris Marshaloff.
Well, I didn't know. But tell me, what do you want to do? You want to play in the theater? Do you want to be a great dramatic actress? You hope to be?
I hope to be, yes.
Do you rather go in the theater, or would you rather prefer to go in pictures or the radio?
The theater.
The theater?
Yes.
Wouldn't you like to go to Hollywood?
Not yet.
Not yet.
It was an offer.
No, this is not an offer. I'm going myself, but steerage, I... Well, perhaps you're right, Miss Stewart. Hollywood seems so temporary, doesn't it? Now, look at... Well, just take little Shirley Temple, retired last week at the age of 11. Now, Shirley's Social Security won't start until she's 65. That little girl has got to sit around 54 years to wait for the dough to roll in. But thanks a lot. Perhaps you're right. If you hear of anything around town, Miss Stewart, let me know. I'll be available shortly to wait. All right, Portland.
Mr. Jack Mulcahy from Hollywood, California.
Mr. Mulcahy. Oh, I know Mr. Mulcahy. He is here tonight as my guest. Mr. Mulcahy, are you still employed as a publicity expert at the 20th Century Fox Studios?
Well, up until an hour ago, Fred.
Well, I mean, you don't know yet till we finish here how Mr. Brand is going to take
it. That's right.
He may call up Mr. Collins and try to get in touch with me. I was going to tell Portland, you know, when we made the last picture out there, Sally Irene and some unidentified girl who was incognito. But we made that. Jack here took care of all of my publicity for the picture. And he finally succeeded in getting my name in the obituary column at Pasadena, California. So people sensed I was artistically passé, and from then on I've been east here. But tell me, what are you doing here now, Jack?
Well, I came east, Fred, with Edward Arnold and Alice Faye in connection with the picture.
Connection? Really, oh, you picture man, you're always coining words.
Thank you.
I suppose that'll be the sign next week at the Roxy. Lillian Russell in connection with Vaughn. Well, tell me, you came here with the new Lillian Russell picture,
That's
which is
right.
at the Roxy, yeah?
At the Roxy here and at the Chinese in Los Angeles.
The Chinese, do they understand pictures like Lillian Russell? Do they? They have a theater of their own in California, haven't
That's
they?
That's right.
I've heard about that. They never forgot the cement hard. The people's footprints were left in it, they tell me. But tell me, is Lillian Russell, as you folks say in Hollywood, a grand picture?
Well, it's better than that, Fred. It's one of Daryl Zanuck's best pictures.
Is there any
really
Technicolor?
Is.
It's one of Mr. Zanuck's best pictures?
Right.
Well, it must be quite a picture because Mr. Zanuck has quite a record, hasn't he?
Yes, he has,
But
Fred.
Tell me, years ago, Jack, I played on the bill with Miss Russell in Washington, D.C. Is that episode in the picture?
No, not that particular phase of it, Fred, no.
Not where I played on the bill
no.
with Miss... Too bad, because I didn't do well that week in Washington, and I was just wondering how I was doing in the picture if the episode was in. But as long as we're not in there... Am I late? Yes, I'm late. I hope you'll excuse me. I'm not going to have time. I'm only doing this to make good a burlesque Jack Benny did 2 weeks ago, and I didn't have time to ask you the question. I will tell you what the question is. I'm not going to have time, huh? Gee, isn't that a shame?
It's terrible.
It's the machine age.
That's right.
Now, years ago, if you were in the theater... You just go on, you keep on talking. When you get through, the stagehands would give you a bill for $900. Here, nothing happens. The guy goes... And it's already the Lone Ranger on a record out there. Well, the question was, if anyone is interested, the question tonight was, do you think custom should prevail over comfort? And the hot weather coming on, the question we asked the first show was, should a man in extreme hot weather be permitted to take off his jacket? Or should he continue to suffer in etiquette rather than to defy convention and be more comfortable? But I know you folks will cook up some excellent answers to this question. And when you get it all figured out, Mr. Feigl, Miss Stewart, and Mr. Mulcahy, when you get your answers figured out, you put them in an envelope and mail them all to Mr. Daryl Zanuck at Beverly Hills, California, and don't send them to me. Thanks a lot. Now the only show in the world that gets a committee already and then nothing happens. Now the Merry Max invites you one and all to listen to the Mockingbird.
I'm dreaming now of Hallie, sweet Hallie. I'm dreaming now of Hallie, for the thought of her is one that never
I'd dunk in at hot water, I think.
Oh, you would.
Well, why not? A bruise never did anything for me.
Well, the proper procedure is to apply ice or cold water to the spot.
You see?
All right,
well,
Mr. Mondale.
Yeah,
he didn't
know.
What would you do for a fainting fit?
Huh?
Should the head be higher than the body or lower?
Well, we Von Zells never went in much for fainting. But,
you see? Hardly anybody knows first aid for anything.
Oh, no, now, wait. I know first aid for a headachy, under-par feeling. It's Sal Hepatica, the secret of a faster comeback.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the mighty Allen Art Players dramatized some old hieroglyphics found on the wall of the phone booth in the Egyptian exhibit at the World's Fair. This little gem is called the Curse of Ra, or the explorer wrote back to his friends, having a fine tomb, wish you were here. The lutes, Pharaoh Van Steenen.
Blinkin' Sop, confound that blasted orderly. Blinkin' Sop.
You call, Lord Fuddleston?
Rather, flunky. Fetch me some iced tea.
Yes, sir. Have you been excavating all morning in this blasted heat?
Rather, the heat is ghastly. I had to close me eyes. It was frying me astigmatism. Every time I opened my eyes, I saw a poached mirage.
A mirage in the desert ain't unusual, sir.
But this one kept lighting up, old boy, and spelling out Billy Rose's equikey.
Why not abandon your expedition, your lordship, and go home?
Abandon the greatest archaeological expedition of the age? Rob Blinkinsop. Rocked and double rocked. I've got to find the tomb of Ha-Ha-Tep.
Ha-Ha-Tep? Who was he?
Ha-Ha-Tep was the famous jesting pharaoh. Ha-Ha-Tep's brilliant epigrams chased Confucius out of ancient Egypt years ago.
Blimey, a prehistoric Oscar event.
Righto.
But why are you so anxious to find Ha-Ha-Tep's tomb, Lord Fuddleston?
On the walls of the tomb are engraved the cream of his original Egyptian witticisms. The Smithsonian Institute has commissioned this sponsored expedition to bring back Ha-Ha-Tep's jests to complete the Smithsonian collection of ancient humor old... Jaded jodhpurs, Blinkinsop. What was that?
You recall the faker you engaged to amuse the men, sir?
The blasted glass eater?
The same, sir.
I say, what is the glass eater up to?
He's making hash for dinner, sir.
Joe, hash. These soft, creamy foods will undo his gums in time. I see. What's that knocking? It must be a mirage with knuckles on. Enter.
Greetings, Sahib.
I say, who are you, Cringer? A friend of Sabu's?
I am Boris, the High Priest of Ra. I come to warn you, Lord Fuddleston.
Warn me? Yes. Why, you audacious brownie?
Give up your search for the tomb of Ha-Ha-Tep.
Dryad drivel, old boy. The Smithsonian Institute has commissioned me to procure the witticisms of Ha-Ha-Tep for posterity. I shall carry on.
Beware, infidel. He who enters the tomb of Ha-Ha-Tep shall die. It is the curse of Ra.
The curse of Ra?
Yes, Sahib. Remember the curse of Ra, Ra, Ra.
Ra, 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 he's a Harvard man.
I don't like it, my lord. Can't we give up this blasted expedition and return home?
We're not funking it, Blinkinsop. The Fuddleston expedition muddles on. The phone. Say it wasn't the phone, it's the assembly call, old boy. We shall start excavating at once. I shall go out and address the men. Men of the Fuddleston expedition, cheerio!
Cheerio, sir!
Now, before giving you your details, men, I shall call the roll. Fusha Wusha.
Here.
Wusha Fusha.
Yes.
Fusha Fusha.
Here.
Wusha Wusha.
Here.
Fusha Wusha Fusha Fusha. Fusha Wusha Wusha Fusha. Confound it. Where is that polysyllabic blighter?
Here I am, sir. Sorrow to be tardy, sir.
Don't let it happen again. Fall in, Fusha Wusha Wusha Fusha.
Righto, sir.
Now, men, I shall report you to Afra if you're not more careful. Now, men, according to the expedition's maps and charts, the tomb of Ha-Ha-Tep lies within a quarter furlong of this very spot.
Yeah.
I want you to break it up into pairs, and comb this desert region thoroughly.
Right, O'Gate. Let's excavate.
Now, the first detail will probe this strip here from here, let's say, to yonder pyramid.
The men won't go, sir. We had a row.
A row, Fusha Fusha?
Yes, I'm not talking to Fusha Fusha.
I'm Fusha Fusha, and I'm not talking to Fusha Fusha.
I'm Fusha Fusha, and I'm not talking to Fusha Fusha.
I'm Fusha Fusha, and I'm not talking to Fusha Fusha.
Yes, I'm Fusha Fusha, Fusha Fusha, and I'll talk to anybody.
You keep on. Fire. You're murking the nebula.
Oh. I say it's an impasse, sir.
It's mutiny. Now, if you're not talking, men, I shall separate you. Now, here, you, Fusha Fusha, you excavate due north.
Right, sir, I'm off.
You, Fusha Fusha, excavate south.
Right, sir, I'm off.
Fusha Fusha, east.
Right, sir, I'm off.
Fusha Fusha, west.
Right, sir, I'm off.
Well, that clears up everything. They're off.
And what about me, sir? Fusha,
Fusha, Fusha. Oh, get away, bounder, you bother me. You stand where you are in old yellow, old dig straight down.
Straight down? When shall I stop, sir?
Don't stop. Eventually you'll emerge somewhere near Bridgeport. Take Route 1 in any direction. Ask for the Egyptian embassy. There's one at South Norwalk, I believe.
Yes, sir, I'm off, sir.
I shall go in and get me tea. I'm off. Blinkinsop. I see, Blinkinsop.
Righto, sir. Where are the men?
They're off, excavating.
I don't like it, sir. Remember the curse of Ra?
Ra, the scurvy swarmy. Ra can't intimidate the Fuddleston expedition. We shall penetrate the tomb of Ha-Ha-Tep and salvage the ancient jests for the Smithsonian Institute.
Lord Fuddleston, I say, Lord Fuddleston, this is ghastly.
Fusha, Fusha. What's askew, old boy?
We've found the tomb of Ahotep, my lord.
Bravo, Fusha Fusha. Has anyone entered the tomb?
Fusha Fusha opened the door and went inside, sir.
Went in? What followed?
A blood-curdling scream, sir.
And Fusha Fusha?
Fusha Fusha failed to emerge, sir. He's done for, sir.
The curse of Ra.
I beg pardon, sir.
Must have been something I ate.
Oh.
Now, you're Fusha Fusha.
I'm Fusha Fusha.
Regardless, lead me to the tomb, old boy.
Yes, it's directly behind the compound, sir. This back door will be quicker.
See.
There it is. There it is. The men are gathered outside the tomb,
I shall still have ears. Cheerio, men.
Cheerio, Lord. Oh, thank heavens you've come.
It's frightful, it is, sir.
I see. Where is Fusha Fusha?
He just went into the tomb to see what happened to Fusha Fusha, sir.
Dead. He's dead game. He's dead game. He's dead. I'm going into that tomb.
It means sure death, my lord.
Silence, orderly. Hand me my tummy gum, me pea shooter and flashlight.
There you are, sir.
Righto.
Before you go to your doom, sir, may we give you the old school cheer?
Do, old boy.
Ready, men. A rouser for Lord Fiddleston. Hip, hip.
Marmalade, crumpets, tiff, and tea. One love for you and two for me. Our school has food, it can't be beaten. For eating. Fiddleston.
Rouser. And farewell. I shall emerge with the priceless epigrams of Ha-Ha-Tep, or not at all. Ta-ta. Oh, here's the door. Jove, it's dark in here. I shall flick on me flashlight. That's better. What's this? Get Wisha, Wisha, and Wisha Fusha sprawled on the floor. Poor chaps. Well, they both died with their hyphens in place. Gad. Who's that?
It is I, dog.
Gad, the high priest of Ra. Put down that Turkish potato knife, heathen.
You have entered the tomb of Ha-Ha-Tep. You must die.
Not so fast, you native devil. Take this.
So, you got me, pal. I die gladly for Ra the Omnipotent.
Hold on, you blighter. You're not Boris, the high priest of Ra. You just spoke in a Yankee jargon.
That's no use, chump. I'm dying. I might as well come clean.
Then you are not Boris, the apprentice pharaoh.
Nah.
You're not even an Egyptian.
Nah, I come all the way from America to steal the jokes on these here walls.
You are a Yankee etymologist?
I was translating these Egyptian wheezes for me own use. I can make a fortune with them.
But I say, how can you, an American, make a fortune with these prehistoric witticisms, these old jokes?
I write gags for the Jack Benny program.
Oh,
morning, ladies and gentlemen. While thumbing my way through a calendar, I was brought up with a start to learn that 96 years ago this coming Saturday, the first telegraph message was sent. Well, as I often say, times certainly do change. In those days, when you had an important message to deliver, it took an awful lot of... and a considerable number of... to get your point across. But nowadays, all you need is a microphone and Harry Von Zell.
And the important message, ladies and gentlemen, concerns you and how Sal Hepatica can help you feel at your best every day. Suppose you wake up tomorrow feeling headachy and logy. Then just drink a glass of... Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time over most of these stations, tune in to Mr. District Attorney, the famous radio show that exposes rackets and confidence games that steal millions every year from the American public. Remember, 8 o'clock tomorrow, Thursday night. Don't miss the thrills of Mr. District Attorney.
Thank you, Harry, and good night, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Tennessee Fish Fry is from American Jubilee. This is the National...